depending upon the help of God, the word I hope we may be helped to speak from this afternoon, you will find in the 8th chapter of the 2nd epistle of the Corinthians and the 9th verse. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You will find these words in the 2nd epistle of Corinthians and the 8th chapter and the 9th verse. This verse seems to my mind to stand out somewhat conspicuous in this chapter. The apostle had been speaking about the liberality of the Corinthians and so on, and how he exhorts them to continue in this liberality. For it is written, he said, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the more earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, and so on. But he speaks about the grace of the Lord Jesus, as though this is an incentive for them to give to the cause of God. For we read in one place, or rather in the 5th verse, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and us by the will of God. Surely this is an example, isn't it, of giving oneself, when we think of the great example of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he gave himself for his dear people. And so he says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What an infinite mercy to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We often announce the benediction. We shall despair to the end at the end of this service. But you know, I sometimes think we announce it so often, and perhaps in such a formal way, that we do not really understand perhaps the meaning of it. At least we do not always. For what a tremendous thing it is, the blessing of the Lord, that benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, the ever-blessed Trinity, to have an interest in these blessed truths, my friends, is salvation, and it is heaven. For ye know. Do we know it? Do we know it? Do we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a vital thing, an important thing. Surely nothing is so vital and so important as a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was not that the one desire of the great apostle Paul? Although we know that he had had a divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord had revealed himself to him that he might preach him. Oh, the apostle Paul had had a wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in writing that third chapter of the Philippians, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why did he pray thus? My friends, he wanted to know more. And so will you, if you know anything of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll want to know more. I'm sure of it. Oh, I believe there will be times when your heart will go with that sweet hymn we often sing, that hymn of William Gadsby's, "Oh, that my soul could know and love him more, his beauty trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem." Oh, is that your desire, my friend? Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be able to speak of great things in religion, but, my friends, do you desire to know these things? Remembering this, that a little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked. I've often said it's not so much the quantity of our religion, but it is the quality. It is whether we have a little which is real, which is the work of the Holy Spirit wrought in our hearts. I say to have a little is better than much which is only of the flesh, which is only sparks of our own kindling. But all to have that wrought in us, that love kindled in us by the Lord. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Why, it's his love, isn't it? His mercy, his loving kindness, his compassion. It's all in that word grace, I feel. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, he was full of grace and truth. You may be feel to be full of sin and feel to possess those deadly evils that the Lord's servant spoke of this morning. But my friends, the Lord Jesus is more full of grace, more full of truth, more full of mercy than you are of sin. Oh, think of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said in his gospel, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh, that the fullness of grace and of truth in the Lord Jesus Christ there is indeed. And although down through the ages, thousands have received of that fullness. They have drunk of those streams which make glad the city of God, yet still it abides. Still the fullness. For we read in the Psalm, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of our God. And that river is his heavenly love. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of it. This abundant grace. This grace which saved the Apostle Paul, stopped him in his mad career, made him a preacher of the gospel. Why, he preached the faith that he once endeavored to destroy. Oh, it's amazing grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once I was blind, but lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Is that your language? If so, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's grace that opened our blind eyes. It's grace that unstopped our deaf ears. Our testimony is like that of Paul when he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He didn't feel to be anything in himself, did he? If you read the epistles of Paul, he hadn't high views of himself. Why, he calls himself the chief of sinners. He calls himself the least of all saints. And he says, I'm not meet to be called an apostle. He had very low views of himself, but he had very high views of the Lord Jesus. His one desire was to exalt the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would desire even this afternoon to exalt the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostles said to these Corinthians, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was noticing, you remember in the first epistle that the apostle wrote to these Corinthians, he was very grieved because there were divisions among them. Some were of one and some another. And that was grieving to Paul, to think that there was those divisions among them. But in writing this second epistle, one thing struck me, what he said. Our hope of you, he said, is steadfast. Although we have been saddened by some of the things that have happened in the past, our hope of you is steadfast. And he was confident that these Corinthians were true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they did indeed know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This knowledge, my friends, is not known by human learning. No. It's known by divine revelation. It's known by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. For no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Oh, if you and I have tasted of this grace and have tasted of the love of Jesus, it is as the Holy Spirit has been pleased to shed abroad that love in our hearts. How true it is, we love him because he first loved us. But I do not want to dwell so much particularly upon this first part of the text, but more particularly upon the other part, which says, although we know it's all in the grace of the Lord Jesus, yet it's all in this word, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the Lord Jesus Christ was rich. He was rich in glory, rich in honor, rich in power, in majesty. He was one with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe this? Oh, he was. He was equal with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. One of our hymn writers says, concerning his eternity, eternal ages saw him shine. He shines eternal ages hence. We cannot understand these mysteries, but we believe them, do we not? We believe in his eternity. We believe in his divinity. We believe that he is very God, and that he was from all eternity the eternal Son of the Father. He was rich. Oh, he was. He was adored by the angelic hosts. Think of it. You read the 8th chapter of Proverbs, where the Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he speaks under the name of wisdom. And he says, I was as one brought up with him, that is, with the Father. And even in those days, before the world began, his delights were with the sons of men. Oh, how rich he was. Yes, rich in glory. Worthy of all honor and all praise was he not. But our text says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For your sakes. And not only for the Corinthians' sakes, but for all his dear people. He who was rich, he became poor. He became poor. And it is this part I want to speak of more particularly this afternoon. He became poor. At this season of the year in particular, we commemorate the sufferings of the dear Redeemer. How he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, he became poor. Think of it. He was from all eternity the Son of God. But he became the Son of Man. When he took our nature, when he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he became the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he knew what infirmity was. He knew what sickness was. For do we not read himself bear our sicknesses and took our infirmities? And did we not read in Isaiah, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened and not his mouth. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, despised and rejected of men, and he is today. For the most part, he is despised and rejected of men. But my friends, how is it with us? Do we desire this divine and glorious person? Is he anything to us? Or is it nothing to us? That is a very pathetic prayer, or rather cry in the lamentation. I believe I spoke from it on one occasion here. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, and see if there is any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger? Is it nothing to us? Is it nothing to us? There are many people pass by this chapel day after day, but I fear it can be said of many, it's nothing to them, the truths that are preached here and have been preached for so many years. It's nothing to them. Oh, to the vast majority, to the vast multitude, the things of God are nothing to them. But there is a people taught of God to whom these things are made life and power. And why is it? It's because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is being made needful to you, it is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Oh, it is indeed. But think of it, he, although he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. So poor that on one occasion he said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you ever think about it? When we lay down our heads upon our pillows, and I hope we feel thankful sometimes, I believe I do, for a bed to lie upon. Sinful though I am, unworthy of the least of all his mercies. But think of him, although he was Lord of all, yet when he trod this earth, he had not where to lay his head. Oh, think of how he humbled himself. How blessedly the apostle puts it in that second chapter of Ephesians. How that he thought it not wrong Philippians, I mean, where he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think of it. Yes, he made himself of no reputation. And the death of the cross was no ordinary death. It was the death of a criminal. Yes, it was the death of one who had committed a crime. For cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ was hung upon the cross at Calvary. Oh, think of it, my friend. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Yes, he became poor. He was willing to become poor. I know he came to do the Father's will. He said in the 40th Psalm, that is evidently prophetic language concerning him, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He came to do the will of the Father, 'tis true, that was ever before him. For he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. But my friends, he came willingly, did he not? Voluntarily. Yes, willingly. He willingly took the dying traitor's place. How willing was Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live the life they could not take away. How willing was Jesus to give. They couldn't take his life, my friends, before the Father had appointed it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Yes, he became poor. He was born in a stable, wasn't he? Think of his lowly birth. There was no room for him in the inn. The time when Jesus was born, the inn was crowded, so that he was born in a stable. Joseph Hart says the crowded inn like sinners' hearts. Oh, ignorance extreme, for other guests of various sorts had room, but none for him. How true it is, my friends. Each one of us by nature, we have no room for the things of God. No room for Christ. We're like the crowded inn. But I say, has the Lord made room in your hearts for him? Why, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has opened your heart, isn't it? If the Lord has made room in your heart for himself, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus that's done it. It's the Spirit's work. And we know that the Trinity work in unity. They do indeed. Therefore, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has made room in your heart for himself. Is he needful to you? Can you say with the blind man, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I didn't desire him. I didn't want him. I said, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's what the carnal man said, mind said, the natural mind. But my friends, if the grace of God is in us, there'll be a change. Those things we once hated, we shall now love and desire and seek after. Oh, how poor he became then. So poor that he was born in a stable. He was born a humble birth. Although his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. This is a great mystery. But we believe it, do we not? We believe in the wonderful mystery of incarnation. Of incarnation. God manifest in the flesh. Sense and reason has to bow down here. And faith reign. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. And while he trod this earth, he was a humble man, wasn't he? Yes, a humble man. Didn't he say on one occasion, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What is it to be meek? I feel it's to be humble. Humble. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Yes, while he trod this earth, he was a humble man. He went about doing good. Why, on one occasion, he washed his disciples' feet. Did you notice what we read in Philippians? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And the apostle there is exhorting to lowliness of mind. And let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And we have a reference to that occasion where the Lord took a towel and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. That was an act of humility, wasn't it? Peter said, thou dost not wash my feet. But the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then he said, if I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. But I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. You see, it was not the Master's place to wash the disciples' feet, but rather the disciples. But he gave that example of humility. Oh, he was truly humble. He made himself poor. Yes. And why? Why did he make himself poor? Why did he so humble himself? Why did he take a lonely birth? Why was he made in the likeness of sinful flesh? Why? Our text tells us that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. That was a reason. This was the reason why he became poor. This was the reason why he humbled himself, that poor sinners, such as you and me, might be made rich. Think of it. The riches of his grace. The riches of his mercy. These are true riches. Do you know anything about them? Do we? Oh, my friends, these are durable riches in righteousness. The riches of this world, they'll pass away. They rust. They're corrupt. Are they not? They perish with the using of them. And the word of God tells us that riches have wings and fly away. How solemn it is when people have the riches of this world only, and when their heart is set upon them. But how blessed when they possess these true riches, the riches of Christ. Oh, think of it, my friends. He's rich in mercy. The apostle, in writing to the Ephesians, he speaks about being rich in mercy. And I believe the word riches occurs several times in Ephesians. The riches of his glory, the riches of his grace, and so on. Oh, think of it, my friends. That we might be made rich. Rich. Do you desire these riches? Or are you still content with the riches of this dying world? You will have to leave them all behind. Yes, we brought nothing into this world. And we can carry nothing out, said Paul, in writing to Timothy. We brought nothing into this world, and we can carry nothing out. And he exhorts Timothy, does he not, to flee youthful lusts and those things that drown men in perdition. For he said, the love of money, not money, but the love of it. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. Have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he said to Timothy, oh, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't follow after them, but follow after righteousness, faith, godliness, and so on. My friends, are you seeking these true riches? If you're seeking them, you'll possess them. In fact, it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that causes you to seek them. You wouldn't seek after these riches if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ towards you. Oh, you wouldn't. You wouldn't desire them. But these riches, my friends, they are true riches and righteousness. Oh, think of the riches of his mercy. That mercy which saves from hell. Oh, that mercy which raises a poor sinner from the pit and sets his feet upon the rock and establishes his goings and put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto our God. Think of it, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. This is the method that God used to make his people rich. Oh, there is much we could say in this. Because, you see, man by sin was so sunk and so fallen, as the Lord's servant said this morning. He was ruined in the Adam fall. It wasn't a partial ruin. It was a total ruin. We believe, do we not, in the total depravity of man. Man was ruined. And God was holy and just. Could not look upon sin only with utter abhorrence. Therefore, justice must be satisfied. The law must be honored and fulfilled. That law that we have broken and were under its curse. But the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled that law, didn't he? In every jot and tittle. And the sword of justice smote him, fell upon him. According to that word in Zechariah, awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow, said the Lord. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little. The Lord Jesus Christ was the fellow of Jehovah, the servant of the Father, was he not? He became the servant of the Father in order that he might be poor, in order that he might taste death. For it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. I often think what a wonderful word that is in Hebrews. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Poor sinners, wretched sinners, wicked sinners, vile sinners, such as you and me, the Lord is not ashamed to own them. No, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, because he died for them, he shed his blood for them. Think of it, all the riches that flow through his death and his resurrection. These are the things that we think of at this season of the year, but not only at this season. My friends, these things should be in all our discourses, should they not? These should be the vital things that we preach. The life, the death, the resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the vital things. And it is through what he has done that poor sinners are enriched with the riches of his grace, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Oh, think of it. He was so poor. He was so humble. He was so lowly. And yet, he was Lord of all. That we through his poverty might be made rich. But my friends, think of how rich he is not only in eternity past, but now in eternity to come. How poor sinners, such as you and I, if we know the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall sing in eternal glory of the riches of his grace. That's a blessed prospect. We believe, dear Miss Warren, who passed away early yesterday morning, is now singing the riches of his grace. I believe she was one who loved the Saviour's name and who loved the habitation of his house and the place where his honour dwelleth. I often used to see her when I went to Jarvis Brook, and she often used to speak words of encouragement. But now, as she is with the Lord, her sufferings have reached a close, and heaven affords her sweet repose. And why? Because he was made poor. He was made poor that all his dear people might be made rich, that they might taste the riches of his grace, the riches of pardoning mercy. Have you tasted it? The pardoning mercy of God. To bear about this pledge below, this special grant of heaven. Ah, but you may say, perhaps, that's what I want to know. That's what I'm seeking for. If you are seeking for it, you will obtain it in God's time. You will indeed. I think it was Joseph Hart who said, what is it to be blessed indeed, but to have all our sins forgiven, to bear about this pledge below, this special grant of heaven. This is to be made rich, to be blessed indeed, to have all our sins forgiven. And why? Because he was made poor. Yes, we live through his death. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, whereby they could not be justified by the law. That we through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, a person may possess little of this world's goods, but oh, if he's got Christ, he's poor. And I remember reading once about an old lady, I think it was, who was very poor, and someone went to visit her and remarked on her poverty. But she said, I have Christ. What want I more? Oh, if you've got Christ, my friend, what can you want beside? You may be poor as regards this world's goods, but if you've got Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're rich. Yes, you have that which the world knows nothing of. You have that which the world cannot receive or take away. Oh, my friends, the world and the devil will never be able to rob the children of God of these riches. No. I think it's in Pilgrim's Progress we read about the jewels. They've still got their jewels, although they lost many things. But the jewel, my friends, even the riches of his grace, it can never be lost. Once in him forever, do we possess these true riches? Is your hope built alone upon the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ? We're dying mortals. Some of us will not live to see many more of these annual occasions. If we do any, we don't know. Those of us who are now well advanced in years, we realize that eternity is imminent, and that the day of our death not far distant, but all to be prepared for it, to possess these true riches, to have an interest in the blood and righteousness of the dear Redeemer, to be enabled to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and this is true riches. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. For is he not made unto his people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? This is riches, if you possess these things. Yes. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a vast subject. This is a tremendous deed. We cannot fathom it, nor can we reach its heights, or measure its breadth, but all to have an interest in it. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. Rich to all eternity. Oh, think of the joy that the saints of God have entered into. They shall go no more out. They shall serve God day and night in his temple. Oh, what a blessed prospect awaits a child of God, one who knows the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what a solemn thing is the alternative, to die without Christ. To die without Christ, my friends, is to die without hope and without God. Oh, it's to sink to that place where hope and mercy can never come. Oh, may God grant that each one of us may know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may know our interest in it, so that it may be well with us while life shall last, and well when called to die. Amen.
Hymn number 95, 95th hymn, tune Leicester 171. Just the sovereign of the skies stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. 95.
Blessing to follow what has been right in thy sight. Cast the matter of thy forgiving love for all that has been amiss. Be with us during the interval of worship. Come up with thy servant this evening. Graciously help him. Give him strength both in his soul and physical strength. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forever. Amen.